If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for Closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings on the light and love of the Most Radiant One. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. Cosmic pep talks for closet Christs. So that closet is that little confined place that you park your magnificence. And tonight we're going to be looking at the things that keep us confined. And the title tonight of our overall topic is The Great Global Awakening, an Exodus from Limitation to Freedom. But we could also call it Breaking Free from Our Personal Log Jams. So let's begin with a little attunement. And you always use your breath to collect your layers and levels of consciousness. It's the easiest form of spiritual integration. That breath is the breath of divine spirit that breathes you into existence. So take a deep breath with that awareness. And connect consciously with your intention to the all that is, and allow that to flood through your entire neurological system, your brain. Let it flow energy and vitality into every single molecule of your existence. And do a little scan. Excuse me. They're going to do a little clearing, I guess, tonight on some log jams in communication. That's a big area where people often are blocked. So if you need to clear your throat, just join me in that process. Log jams are anything in our consciousness on any level that impedes the greater light and life of the one divine source flowing through us and having unlimited access to all of us on every level of our life. So any place that you will be experiencing a constriction or a restriction of the flow of greater life and vitality, and the sourcing of the flow of all good things through you, that would be an area now to breathe into. And as you do that, say, if you like, in your mind, silently, freedom. Deep breath. Freedom into that area. It's wherever you feel a heaviness or a lack of joy. Yeah, do you have a happy body? Do you have a happy emotional body? Do you have a happy mind? Do you have a happy attitude? Do you have a happy life? Do you have a happy bank account? Do you have happy relationships? If not, you might be on the lookout tonight for those log jams where the energy has gotten clogged and congested. Take another deep breath and breathe into whatever area seems heavy to you. Breathe in freedom into that area now. Freedom. And of course, you will say it silently with your intention as you do this on your own after we're off the air. And pick another area that seems like it has a log jam. And again, take a deep breath with the intention of sending divine freedom into that area. Deep breath. Freedom. And also, you can spell out the word freedom as a mantra to generate that vibrational frequency in your body-mind complex. It's another way you can use this spiritual exercise tonight. Make use of the simplicity of your intention, your directed breath, any specific quality that you wish to imbue your consciousness with, or send into any specific part of your body. Very, very easy spiritual exercise. So every conflict in our world today can be traced to the spiritual urge to freedom. And that urge to freedom coming in confrontation with the ego forces, which want to keep things as they are and seek to maintain control by limiting that freedom. So these two energies of freedom and bondage erupt in the personal, national, and cultural clashes and result in the present-day wars and conflicts on every area of life. The spirit within us strives to be free to express and create with greater and more expansive life and creativity. That's its nature, is eternal expanding creative consciousness. That is the divine source's intention. Whereas the established ego-driven systems are made up of those who exert power and control to restrict, to suppress, to confine, and to maintain the power and control systems. But believe it or not, this very conflict and polarization of energy is so very necessary, because this is the sparking and spur behind all advancement. We see this in the individual in the conflict between the soul and its lower self, let's call the ego mind generated identity, the lower self. And it's the friction between the authentic self and the false self, the lower self, that causes the flame to emerge of freedom. Yes, freedom is a flame. It is a spiritual flame. It's not the kind of flame that we would think of when we light a candle, but it is a great eruption of a glorious transformative power and light that is a divine flame that bursts forth from the conflicts that are raged in our life. That's why an advanced soul, like a skilled horseman, wants a horse that is spirited. That's going to give him an exciting experience as he rides the horse. And likewise, a soul that is adamant to attain spiritual liberation in this lifetime often picks an extremely challenging life pattern. The one that orchestrates your life with its tests and its challenges. And everything that you go through later on in time and space after you're born was orchestrated before birth by that part of you called the soul, the eternal consciousness, the divine observer, the divine a spark, or extension, as I prefer to call it. And that part of you has set the plan, the venue, for your self-mastering process that you call your life experience. I do not know of a single great soul that has attained in any given lifetime of great attainment that didn't have an extremely difficult, challenging, often very unstable beginning in their life. Nearly all of them had to overcome tremendous obstacles, which served in tempering that spirit within them and sending it into that divine effulgent state that vivified eternality within their temporal levels. And that's what's required to do, to master yourself. You need those challenges that push you out of your comfort zone, that cause you to go beyond where you thought you could never go. It calls forth reserves of energy and resourcefulness that you didn't even know you possessed. And that is, believe it or not, the spiritual impetus between everything that's happening on our planet today. There is this tremendous global awakening that involves every single sentient being on this planet, and a tremendous seeking to exit every form of confinement, bondage, restriction, and limitation to greater freedom. It's just driving everyone. The great drives to escape from this horrible, crushing poverty of some of the third world countries is driving souls to piracy and every form of illicit trafficking. Behind that behavior is a desire to get free from the crushing limitations of impoverished lifestyles and impoverishing and limiting regimes. So begin to look at global conflict and personal conflict from a higher level of the spiritual activation of what is the innate urge of the God within you to be free, to set the lower levels of the consciousness, the emotions and the physical body and the mind, to set those levels free. So this great stirring is taking place all over the world and manifesting according to where the consciousness is centered in terms of the chakras, in terms of the cultural worldview, in terms of the karma of that nation, in terms of the karma of the global leader of that, or not the global leader, excuse me, the national leader of that particular nation, depending on that, will be the available choices for that group of people and how they will choose to exercise that symptom of rebellion against limitation. That's the symptom. And it's a healthy thing when nations and individuals within those nations question age-long limitation and suppression in whatever form it has entered their life experience. So that's a very, very healthy sign, even though it looks very, very tense and messy on the surface. But if you look at it from a spiritual level, you will see that some very good things are happening out of this conflict. All of the world traditions, without exception, have spoken of this time as a time in which we are all faced with global and personal changes that are life-altering, great upheavals in our personal, collective, and ecological lives, and the resultant transformation that's occurring. And all indicate that after much upheaval, a purified consciousness emerges that inhabits a transformed earth. And likewise, every single world tradition looks to the coming of great light into our world through the advent of some embodied divine principle. The Christians look for the return of the Christ, the Jews to the return of the Messiah, the Hindus to the return of the Kalki Avatar, the Muslims to the return of the Imam Mahdi, the Buddhists to the return of Maitreya Buddha, and the New Agers to the return of the planetary and celestial lords of light. So all foretell of a great clashing and conflict between these entrenched energies and the incoming forces of light, and all foretell of the triumph of the freeing of spirit and our entering into a golden age. So we have every reason to be positive and joyful. So the sum total of what you've brought to bear to this lifetime is what you might say, what the soul has very carefully gathered for this particular close of the major 26,000-year cycle. So the sum total of a person's habits and choices in time, space, matter, and density form your nature. Habits come about from the ingrained mental tendencies. When you repeat an action over and over again, it causes grooves to form in the brain and in the neural system. And these patterns are called vasanas in Sanskrit. And these vasanas cause us to go by nature into certain grooves of familiar behavioral patterns, whether it's in your consciousness, it's basically in your consciousness, but it also manifests at the subconscious and unconscious energies that drive you, whether or not you're consciously aware of it. They're the tendencies that will out in your life. So your very life is your mission, as well as your message, because who you are communicates to all that exists all the time. Who you are communicates louder than the words you speak. You, your resonance, emanates throughout all of the cosmos and affects every living thing. You are either an energy that is advancing the spiritual flow and are ministering radiatory transformative light into time and space, or you're still clogged and that greater life and light can't quite get through you yet. It's still getting muted, let's say, and caught up in those areas that are blocked energetically. So the whole spiritual process that we engage in through a variety of disciplines is simply for the process of stepping into freedom, freeing up those systems. In the oral Vedic system, there are 108 marmas in the body, which refer to nexus points, where the muscles and the nerves and the arteries conjoin and flow greater life vitality through the body. The very almost extinct science of energy healing that is part of the Ayurvedic system, which we did a show about 3 weeks ago. So the point I'm making here is that the whole of your body is a divine conduit, is intended to be a divine channel and conduit for the full love, wisdom, power, and will of divine creative source to flow through you. That is the whole purpose of your human body. And only in a human body, which is the synthesis of every kingdom in nature, the synthesis of the mineral, the vegetable, the animal, and the Devic evolutions form the human body. Then the soul is in the fifth kingdom of nature, which is the kingdom of souls. So you are a fivefold. That's why five is the number of man. You are a fivefold. You are a five-pointed star. A fivefold synthesis of five distinct kingdoms of nature. Now, if you are a master, you are a six-pointed star because you have wedded with the monad or the I Am presence or the principle called Fohat, which we could call the divine father-mother principle. And that, the closest approximation of that principle, that monadic principle, could be likened to lightning, the power of lightning. So the six-pointed star would represent a Chohan, or a person who has become a lord or master of the six kingdoms of nature. Now, only in a human body is it possible for this totality, this synthesis, to exist. That is why everybody and their dog tries to elbow their way into a human incarnation. The Tibetan master, Joel Kuhl, said in the Alice Bailey books that everything in the cosmos either has been a human, aspires to be a human, or one day will become a human. Because only from the human level can we springboard multidimensionally back to source. So this human life is more important than any incarnation you could ever have. It's much more important than your incarnations on Mars or Venus or Jupiter or Saturn or within the Pleiades or within the Orion system or Vega or Sirius or any other place that you may think is a star seed. You have your points of origin. And the truth be known, we have inhabited every single one of those that I've mentioned. Because we do. We're not limited. When you step out of the levels where limitation is assumed to be normal, you have unlimited consciousness. That's the first thing that happens when you die, is that you go from limitation to an unlimited sense of self. Which, if you're not used to that, you're like a bird that has been so used to sitting in the cage that when suddenly the door is left open, the bird is scared to death to move. So it's very interesting that we need to really look at the things that confine us, keep us in the closet, keep us narrow, keep us constricted, keep us small. Because smallness is not the nature of the all that is. We live in a vast, open-ended, ever-expanding universe that keeps expanding, the scientists say, at the speed of light. And we are in a spiritual nature that has no end, that has infinite expansive potential. We can't even really describe it because we have nothing to liken it to down here in the human situation. But begin to meditate on this. So often we in the human body tend to limit our goals and our aspirations as if there was a final point to be reached. Beloved, get used to knowing that there is no final point. There's no end to the journey. There's no end to the expansion. There's no end to your potential. There's no end to your unfolding. There's no end to your glory as a divine being. No end, no goal. There is only here and now. The past does not exist for you. The future has not yet been manifested. You have here and now. Here and now is the point of power for spirit to touch to you. That touching to of spirit into your instrument is what is shown in sacred geometry as the Mogen David, or the Star of David. The conjoined triangles represent that six-pointed star, that joining of the higher with the lower pentagon or principles that I just spoke about. And so that was the ancient symbol way before Judaism. That was the symbol of Lord Vishnu. Vishnu is the principle of God that takes physical embodiment, that embodies divinity in a form during each of the ages and cycles of time. It's always that one Vishnu principle. We call it the Christ also, or the avatar lineage, but it's the same thing. We have to also learn to recognize the same divine principle under a variety of cultural valences and labels, definitions, and names. Again and again, we come back to the fact that there is one God, and there is one path to that one God. And it is the path that leads you into greater expansive freedom. So that, I think that sets the frame about what I would like us to look at tonight. And these ingrained tendencies that drive us, that cause us to go back into the familiar grooves, these mental tendencies are present and manifesting today as your life. And there are way too many of, you know, the accumulations that we have gathered in hundreds, thousands, millions, maybe billions of life expressions that we have had, so that the major predominant theme for this time is emerging for advanced souls today. That's why, again, a very advanced soul is usually very different from the masses around them. They have attained a unique individuality about them. They don't march to the same drummer. And those of you that I speak to each week in these seminars are of that category. That's why you are drawn to listen. You don't fit the major predominant cultural and religious presentations that all humans create around truth to try to confine it so they feel safer. You can't confine truth. So, let's say that your overall tendencies today that you have present the basic theme for your life pattern at this moment of time. So let's be aware of your life's theme. I think it's helpful if you give it a title. You know, if you're going to write a book about your life, what would the title be? Or you could put it up in lights on a marquee, like I think mine might be Freedom Express, Homeward Bound. I've had a great impetus to freedom in his lifetime. So this is giving a slightly different angle of approach to the age-old question of who am I and what is my purpose here? Well, you know, you're not who you think you are, and your real purpose probably has nothing to do with what you think it is. So rest content with not knowing for a while, and play in the arena, see what shows up. So you may want to journal about this or do some free-form writing. Free-form writing is where you rapidly write down single words that define your sense of self, your major interests, your expressions and characteristics. Remember, there's no right or wrong, good or bad in this. So judgment and comparison plays no part. It's totally unnecessary. But it may be helpful as a basis to remind yourself that you, as a spiritual being, are eternally perfect. Nothing you have done in time and space really touches that divine being that you are. They're exercises of consciousness mastery and training of force and energy direction. That's your experiences in time and space. But they do not actually affect you. That holy, pure, and perfect divine Atma has never been born, could never be touched by its passage through time and space, and likewise could never die. So who and what you are, you really are, you truly are, is completely safe. It cannot be lost. It cannot be destroyed. In fact, the best definition of who you are, I think, can be found in the Bhagavad Gita. Who you are cannot be wetted by water. It cannot be burned by fire. It is eternally pure. It is omnipresent. It is all-powerful. It is all-knowing. That is who you are, as the I am that is the divine presence, or the monad, or the Atma. That is you. So own that, and then you can play in the experiential realms of being and becoming, you know, playing at this and playing at that and experiencing yourself in a variety of guises and expressions. Why? Because you wanted to do that. You wanted to experience yourself as individualized, limited expression in a singular identity. You wanted to have a human experience, so enjoy it. But who you are is totally safe, and it's totally orchestrated that you will get home. You will arrive home at the perfect time that you have already decided is your optimum outcome. Everything you think you'll lose, you haven't lost it. Nothing is lost in all of creation. Nothing dies. Nothing is truly destroyed. Nothing disappears. Everything that appears to die and be destroyed in time and space is a dream scenario. It's a holodeck experience from which you will awaken and find yourself completely safe and at home, along with all that you love. These are such positive and wonderful truths to fill your consciousness with, so that you can look with serene eyes and an unfurled brow at whatever comes down the life path, whatever you have to go through or confront, when you know that you know that nothing can ever touch the holy perfection that you share eternally in God. You are part of God, just like a cell is part of your body. So, you could look upon your present character as like a role that you're playing in time and space. You've got to play your role really well, whatever you're cast as. But don't fool yourself into identifying with your role. That may be good in acting. It's called method acting, where you become such a good actor, you identify completely with your role. A self-realized person doesn't do that. A self-realized person always is aware. It's almost like they're remote viewing their personal self moving through time and space and daily activities. But they don't really buy into that as who they are. They watch. They're the objective observer watching the play. When you step into that level of spiritual freedom, it is so fun. Then you just, like, enjoy it all. All of it becomes very, very interesting to the soul when you can detach from attachment to the enchilada here moving around in your daily life. So the life pattern is perfect for you. You chose it, and it is the best way for you to master yourself. That's where you why you chose the life that you have. So where are your log jams of stuck energy? Past emotional traumas, mental fixations, compulsive obsessive behaviors, dis-ease on any level can indicate areas where the energies have become log-jammed, which then impedes that flow of greater life that seeks to flow through your human embodiment. Think of God as the life force that flows vitality through you. God and the life force are one and the same. That life force has been called chi, prana, shakti, kundalini, shakina. These are all terms for this vital force. Now, once the human instrument is divinely attuned, metaphorically speaking, your entire life resonates like a harp as the winds of spirit flow through you. You know, I'm reminded here of one of the many interviews I've had with Satya Sai Baba, the great cosmic avatar that is living on the planet. There was a woman who complained of a lack of energy. And Sai Baba said, energy is God. So eat God, breathe God, drink God. Every day take vitamin G-O-D. And you will be filled with energy. And then very specifically, he told her to meditate 1 hour in the morning and 1 hour in the evening every day and to repeat the name of God in the meantime, and she would be filled with energy. So to intake spiritual energy, you need to do spiritual exercises. Spiritual exercises are where you sit down and have a conscious intention of working with yourself and your inner levels through meditation, through mantra, through visualization, through initiation into the light and sound of God, such as I often speak about, participating in your own conscious unfoldment is spiritual exercise. It's not a passive process. It's one in which you are actively engaged in moving your spiritual inner awareness to a transcendental state of awareness and perspective. Now, in terms of freeing up your physical body, yoga, tai chi, qigong, ballet, martial arts will all increase your vitality and train you in connecting with your energy, centering it, and directing your physical and mental energies. So these, again, are very important, particularly if you have a young body. But, you know, you can do yoga at any stage and age of life and tai chi and qigong. Maybe the ballet is safe for your early years. But yoga, tai chi, and qigong are excellent for anyone at any age of life. In fact, you can reverse aging very, very rapidly by tai chi. That's why they do it. You know, these people in China, all these elderly people are out there and they're spry as grasshoppers doing tai chi every morning in the fresh morning air. So everyone wants to be free. Everything in your life wants to be free. Your cat wants to be free. Your dog wants to be free. Your money wants to be free. Sai Baba said that our money is like blood. It needs to freely circulate. When you try to hold it and confine it, you know, then it becomes a log jam financially because you're hoarding and you're not flowing it. That's why it's better to invest your money, put it to work, have it flow freely. So to the lower self, the ego-driven person, freedom is seen as being free to indulge the senses and the personal appetites and agendas without inhibition or restriction. But we all know that you get tired of that real soon, because that kind of freedom usually ends up in the inhibition of freedom in the form of jail or prison, because we have a society which that kind of freedom is invasive and inflictive upon the laws set in place for the good of all people. The hippie era of the 60s saw many people exploring that paradigm and later suffering from the consequences of personal license without spiritual liberation. You know, when you're spiritually free, you're free whether you're sitting in a jail cell or you're confined in a wheelchair or you're, you're free. It has absolutely nothing to do with where your body is when you're spiritually free. Like Sai Baba, for example, he lives in, at least for many years, he lived in this tiny little room. Had a little Indian cot up there, and that was about it. Tiny little room. And he couldn't dare come out and walk freely because he'd be mobbed by all the devotees. And yet, you know, his consciousness was roaming and free throughout the cosmos. He often speaks about administering the beings on other planets and other levels and other dimensions, as well as all of the affairs on Earth. How we can go and appreciate such a person, but we don't necessarily understand that level, because that's cosmic God realization, which we can only go and observe a person in that state with great awe. So without the mastery of our own senses and self-discipline, there is no true freedom. So the true urge to be free, spiritually speaking, originates from our spiritual self, the soul. It is the soul, again, that orchestrates our personal training regimen and personal testing. You know, once you've gone through training in any discipline, then you have to test to see if you can go through the obstacle course. So this is very, very true in the spiritual life as well. So you will have things that you work hard to attain and master, and then you enjoy that for a little while on a plateau, and then the next thing you know, you're thrown into a period of testing, and then the next thing you know, you're at the beginning of the ascent of yet another mountain. So the valley and the mountain and the wilderness and the testing, these are continual cycles in the life of the spiritual adept. So the soul aspires to transcend all the blockages imposed by human limitation. The soul aspires to transcend the ring past knot that circumscribes our personal beliefs, our dogmatic assertions, our fears, and our phobias. And in the larger sense, the soul's objective is to transcend the limitation of time, space, energy, and matter. In other words, in this particular cycle of time, it's to transcend the limitations of the third and fourth dimensional perspectives entirely. And they are perspectives. They're not really in themselves outside of us. Like heaven and hell, all the dimensions and the worlds within worlds exist within yourself, your own consciousness. So you always have to go in to go out. You always have to look inside to understand what is on the outside. And that's why the kingdom of heaven is within. Paul Tritchell wrote a great book in the 60s entitled In My Soul, I Am Free. And in that book, he described his own quest for personal freedom. Those of you that don't know Paul Tritchell, he was a spiritual traveler that introduced our Venusian light and sound teachings into the modern world for the first time in 1965. And he came from Venus to reintroduce the ancient teaching of the way of the eternal, or Notia, Om Notia Zadia, as it's called in Venusian. In 1965, it had not been on the planet for something like 3,000 years, I believe he said, in the outer world where it was recognized as what it was. So he came to find a way to insert that teaching back into the outer world, and what he resulted in creating based on his experiences is now the teaching called Ekankar, the science of divine light and sound, which is a way to spiritual mastery and freedom. So I mention that because in your soul you are free. The very essence of the soul is a sense of freedom. That's how you can almost identify when you're in soul consciousness, because you have a tremendous sense of bliss and non-localized awareness. I say non-localized because you have a sense of being everywhere and nowhere at the same time. You have a sense of all-pervasive expansion and embracement, at the same time a joyful uprising of a sense of absolute centered freedom. Absolute centered freedom. Those words, I think, are very descriptive of the state of being identified at the level of soul awareness. So based on some of the emails I've received, there are some of you who are giving way too much attention to the inner liar instead of the inner voice of truth. So let me give you a very simple key to recognize the inner liar. I love it. The inner liar is every negative, self-condemning, judgmental, critical, faith and love demeaning thought. That is, and you are to know that that is not from God. It is from the ego mind, or your false self, or let's call it what it is, the inner liar. So, now here is the key to discerning the voice of truth. Every positive, joyful, divine, affirming, praiseworthy, uplifting, faith-confirming thought is from God, which is your true divine self, the voice of the Holy Spirit within you, which is the Spirit of Truth. So whatever gives you comfort, strength, builds you up, and encourages you is from the voice of truth within you. You will never hear any form of accusation or condemnation from the Spirit of God within you, ever. Because God only beholds you as itself, himself, herself. God sees you as perfect, as whole, as divine, and doesn't see anything else. So you recognize truth because it's joyful, and it's promoting that divine identity. Your ego will never affirm your divinity and your wholeness, ever. That's how you can tell when you're in an ego state, because in some way you are constricting yourself into some form of limitation. You're judging your action. You're doubting your action. You're questioning your action. You're comparing your action. That's all the stuff the ego does. So there's no wisdom of awareness in allowing negative thoughts and feelings to run your life. So why do you do that? Why do you listen to false counsel that only serves to cause you to feel sad and defeated and hopeless? You know, it's like the little moron, you know. Why does he hit himself in the head with a hammer? It doesn't feel so good when he stops. Well, usually people misidentify themselves with their thoughts, with their behavior, with their emotional moods. But you, the soul, are none of those things. Get the sense of you, the soul, being the overseer, the witness self, that kind of looks over the time-space mechanism of your body, mind, emotional expression, with a sense of interest and amusement, but total detachment. The soul is aware that it's not affected by its passage through time and space. It is gaining data. It's a data perceptor, the mechanism of your body and your life. You're a data perceptor. You're like a tape recording, picking up data. Why? I don't know. God's going to use it for something. I don't know what. But we're on a field trip just to see what's here in this parsect of the universe. So don't think of this life, this little tiny brief episode of 4 score and 10 or less, as being your life. This is just one of many field trips that you've taken as a soul, as a spiritual being. And there'll be many more. So be kind of cool and detached in your living with yourself. Do you realize that when you believe the ego's accusation, do you really realize what you're doing to yourself? Do you know that you have free will and free choice as to what you will elect to listen to? So why not take your counsel from joy? The masters say that joy is a special wisdom, and that the joy of the Lord is your strength. So joy strengthens and leads you to truth every time. In fact, joy and truth are kissing cousins. Joy and truth are kissing cousins. And joy accompanies truth just as moisture accompanies rain. So, A Course in Miracles says that whenever I am not wholly joyous, it is because I have acted unlovingly to one of God's creations. Do you know that means you also? One of Sai Baba's most frequent statements is, "Don't worry, be happy. Happiness is union with God." Now Sai Baba has also said that when a devotee has totally placed their life into the hands of the Lord with no trace of ego, then the Lord himself takes care of arranging every detail of that person's life. He or she no longer needs to even ask, for everything is given by grace that is required for one's optimum happiness and delight. And at the end of that life, there's no more birth. You don't reincarnate once you have given your life fully and completely into the hands of the Lord with no trace of ego. It's all finished. Unless, of course, you decide you want to come back or the Lord asks you. That's a different thing. But basically, you're a cookie. You're free. Sai Baba also says that many people expect 100% grace for 10% devotion. So, you know, our surrender to the Lord must be full and total. And we need to relinquish these personal demands and addictive expectations and to simply yield ourselves and our affairs into the perfect divine ordering of the Holy Spirit in total trust. I highly recommend reading the characteristics of the teacher of God in the third section of A Course in Miracles. It's the last book in the three books, or within the one big thick book. And in there is a section on trust. I suggest that you reread that and reread it often, because there are stages in which we are trained to yield ourselves in trusting and entrusting ourselves fully and completely to the Divine Spirit. We need to rest in God as a planet rests in space. We need to flow with divine spirit as completely yielded as a leaf is to the wind. Use these as your visuals, if you'd like, that will give you a sense of that resting in God, flowing with the divine spirit. Again, this is not wimpy. It's not relinquishing your responsibility. In fact, you can only surrender and yield to spirit by intense spiritual accountability and responsibility to spirit. But it's that state where you're open and you don't have constriction and contraction going. You don't have the log jams that energies get stuck in and restricted. And again, it's a feeling inside. It's a sensation of absolute peace, absolute openness, absolute trust, which is the highest form of devotion. And, you know, when you put your two palms together, that in Sanskrit is called Sharanagati, which means devoting the 10 inner and the 10 outer senses completely to God. You are offering all that you are to God. And that is the reason why you put your palms together, really, when you pray. So this will give you the sense of security and provision and peace that everyone yearns for. And it will also put an end to all worry and concern about the future. All worry and concern comes from a lack of trust and direct experience of God. So when you do your spiritual exercises, it's inevitable you will encounter God. You will experience God. And when you do, you will begin to have more conscious awareness of how God operates in your life. God is always 24/7 operating in your life, always. There's never a time that God isn't present in you, above you, behind you, to your right, to your left, above and below. God is breathing you. God is beating your heart. God is the light by which you see. God is the love by which you love. God is the life force by which you can do anything at all, energetically in your life. So God is up close and closer, it says in the Bhagavad Gita, than your hands and feet, nearer to you than your breath, nearer to you than your heartbeat. That is how close God is to you. And the love for you is unconditional and eternal. It's not based on anything that you have ever done or not done. It's based on who and what you are eternally. So there is a point in awakening, which I've spoken of on many, many shows, that signifies your entrance into a deeper life of commitment, spiritual, conscious spiritual commitment, when you become a disciple of the Master. A disciple is a person who has willingly placed themselves in a position of to be disciplined to the things of spirit, to have conscious self-discipline, because it's the soul within you, actually it's the soul that brings you to this point of being willing to be discipled or brought into spiritual accountability. And when that occurs to you, and you have asked to enter into the way, capital W, the entering into the way is the entering into the path of conscious discipleship. In Christian parlance, it's called being born again, or at least I don't know about Christian parlance so much as that was the term that Christians adopted based on what the scriptures say that Jesus said to Nicodemus when he came and said, you know, How can I be free? How can I, basically he was asking, how can I step into that greater life? And Jesus said, you must be born again. So the born again is you saying yes to God, and God being given permission by all of the levels that are asking, that would be you asking as a conscious human being, you give permission then for that quickening to take place, which then immediately ignites your spirit. It ignites that part of you that is immediately set on the task of transformation. But your body and mind are your task then to bring them into harmony with your spirit. And it is your duty to renew your mind, to retrain it how to think in line with truth. And you find that you can no longer have the liberty of believing what others have said about you that have defined you in limitation and negativity. You know, those are reflections. The outer liars are reflections of that inner liar that wants to keep you small and confined. And you can no longer hold on to your own negative concepts and conceptions about yourself. And you can no longer allow your negative self-image and negative self-talk to be your counselors. So you need to set up a course of mental self-directing in line with truth. So the New Testament, the Bhagavad Gita, A Course in Miracles, the Unity School of Christianity, Transcendental Meditation, a good discipline that has borne the test of time, is important at this point to direct and train the mind. I personally have found for myself the greatest benefit from A Course in Miracles. And I highly recommend that to advanced souls because it is the perfect blending of the Christian understanding with the Advaita or the Vedantic understanding. It's a perfect synthesis of the teachings of East and West, and it was given by the Master Jesus for this particular time and for those of us that are wanting to break free from the old conditioned dogmas and doctrines of the Piscean Age, which confined Jesus defined Jesus in very limited ways and circumscribed the teachings in very limited ways as well. So again, A Course in Miracles is the quantum expansion of the teachings of Jesus that are appropriate for this particular time and cycle of unfoldment. So you might want to check it out. You also need to seek out the counsel of spiritually mature men and women who have come to know something of the divine life themselves and are living out their higher divine pattern and destinies. You can keep company through DVDs also, and seminars and discourses and lessons that you may get through the mail or the internet, but you have to keep in connection and active participation with your spiritual path and your own training. You need to be proactive in that and to seek out the sources of things that will nourish you spiritually and keep you focused and centered in your spiritual discipline. And most of all, you need to forgive everyone, including yourself, everyone who has ever harmed you upon any level. And you do this not for their sake, but for your own sake, to set yourself free. And to receive forgiveness and to come under grace yourself, you must forgive others and extend that grace to them. So you can ask for spiritual assistance to do this. And no, you don't have to feel it emotionally. For it works whether or not you feel it. You don't always have to feel things for them to work. It's the intention of your heart that is registered in spirit. It's not the flapping of your lips or any particular formula. Your heart is what speaks your intention. So you need to understand how your mind functions and the principle of cause and effect, which is also called the law of reciprocity or karma, and the law of righteousness or dharma, which is right action, right livelihood, and making soul-worthy and goal-worthy choices in governing your life. So you switch from karma, which is the reaction to your actions, be they positive or negative, to dharma. And dharma, or righteousness, is the behavior of a rightly aligned, spiritually integrated soul and its human instrument. So you live a dharmic life, or a righteous life. So it's good to do a life overview an assessment periodically to see where you are. Many teachers, once they've initiated you, ask you to do a monthly assessment of how you're doing spiritually. You know, as you see it, what are the areas that are flowing and what are the areas that you're having some challenges with? So I suggest that it's very good. You can actually mail the letters to your teacher or your to Sai Baba, or you can burn them, or you can put them in a prayer pot on your altar, but release them in some way, and or like the Native Americans do. I like what they do. They will take cornmeal or tobacco and put it in little pouches, and put their prayers or their whatever they want to release to God, you know, their bad habits or whatever, and they will sometimes tie them to a tree, or sometimes they'll bury them in the ground. And that's also a useful way to signify to your lower level that you have released it. You have to do sometimes an action so that your inner child, your basic self, your lower nature, can actually see that you're serious about releasing whatever it is that you want to release. So, again, where are your log jams? Is it in the physical, the emotional, the financial, the mental? What areas are blocking your quality of life and the happiness and positive productivity that you desire? That area, whatever it is your next step spiritually. Your next step on the path of self-mastery and ascension. So when we are blocked spiritually, it's because of some energetic logjam, physically, emotionally, mentally, that we actually need to do our best to discern and determine whatever it is, and then do all we can with the Lord's help, of course, to break through into freedom in that area. The biggest key in the world is to realize you never did any of it. I mean, that's outrageous. If you can go there with that, that's great. And that's where the Course in Miracles will ultimately take you, is to help you to realize you never have been here and you've never done any of this. And, of course, the major motto of the Course in Miracles is this. Nothing real is threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. So when you really know that you've never been here in any real sense, you've never done any of the behaviors or actions, either good or bad, that you ever thought or imagined you did, then you can transcend the whole illusion and just pop right into self-realization, God-realization, forget the whole thing. But most of us need a little bit more time to come up to that level. So if you do, then pick something like the Course in Miracles and study it. Do the 365 lessons, one for each day of the year. Start with lesson one. The first 43 lessons are designed to reverse the way that you've commonly believed and looked at the world. So they will look like you're saying negative things, but you're not really. You're undoing the what's going on in your mind anyway. And you're not doing anything really. It's the Holy Spirit working through the Course and in your consciousness that's undoing the negative patternings. And then you will start building in truth until lesson 75, the light has come, when you literally are set free from all the limitations of the laws of the lower world. It's a tremendous goal just to realize that lesson 75 really is a major turning point in the Course and in your life. And the other positive thing is to realize you've already done the Course. You've already mastered the Course before you do your first lesson. But it's important that you do the lessons, even though you've already done them in spirit. So another key that I'd like to share with you here is a major one that you need to really imprint strongly in your consciousness somewhere. What you withhold from another or others, you withhold from yourself. What you withhold or deprive from another, you withhold and deprive from yourself. So only you deprive yourself. And whenever there is a lack or deprivation, you need to bear in mind the fact that there is one divine spirit that is flowing life and vitality, intelligence and awareness through every single one of us. So you're always dealing with God, no matter what the situation or the person or the circumstance. You but give to yourself. You but give to God in that form. So God is no respecter of persons, which means with God it is all equal opportunity. And what that means is that we receive in exact proportion and to the degree and capacity that we individually have made room for. You know, if you have a large washing tub, and you have a cup, and you have both of them sitting out under the rainfall, naturally, the big wash tub is going to take in more rainwater than the cup. What defines the amount that's received? The container that you've set out there. The rain falls equally on both. So in like manner, if we have a large capacity and have made room for more, we will receive more. And in terms of finances, you can see this principle operating very clearly. To those who have more, is given more. And those who lack, even the little that they have, seems to get frittered away. Why is that? Well, abundance attracts more abundance, even as lack attracts more lack. Do you know that's why it's so important to take good care of your car and your personal surroundings? Did you know that? When you keep your car clean and well-maintained, your car will function longer and better. It will get better mileage. It will not even attend to attract negativity in the form of accidents. If you're centered spiritually, if you call in the light before you get behind your wheel, if you're spiritually aware and accountable to your process of driving without, you know, sending text messages and all that nonsense, if you keep your mind on what you're doing, and you stay present and aware and are centered, and your car is clean and maintained, there is probably no possibility of you attracting an accident. Accidents are attracted to dirty, disorganized, and frenetic energies that are not centered in divine order. So think about that in terms of your surroundings, your life, how you orchestrate your physical environment reflects how organized and clean you are in your inner workings, how much flow and freedom you have going in your inner self. You know, it's as within, so without, as above, so below. So look at your life. You know, it's a koan, K-O-A-N, it's a big puzzle that you were meant to decode and understand. And in that lies self-awareness and self-realization. So there are two laws in operation here that we see governing finances in particular, or anything else that's a needful commodity, and that's supply and demand. When you freely source things in your life and get rid of things you don't need and keep the energy circulating, you keep attracting more supply. So whatever you want more of, start giving it away. And pretty soon you'll just be flooded with whatever it is you keep giving away. You keep getting more and more and more. So you have the reflection also in supply with expansion and contraction. Expansion is always the working of divine spirit. Contraction is always the restriction of energy, sometimes for a cycle, because in the polarized world, we have these cycles. And expansion would be expressed through love, openness, receptivity. Contraction could be expressed through closed systems, resistance, fear. But the higher spiritual principle described in A Course in Miracles with regards to giving and receiving is that they are one action. To give is to receive. To give is to demonstrate that you have. And they go together like two sides of one coin. So it is in giving that it is given back to us in exact measure, degree, and proportion. That's how the Bible describes it. So as a cautionary here, people today in the mass unawakened consciousness that is represented by the news and the talking heads on TV, there's constant reinforcement of this false idea about there being tough times, lack, economic stress, etc. So, you don't have to buy into that mass mindset. God is not limited by man's creation of an economic system, the banking system, the housing situation, the job situation. None of that. The divine principle that supplies your good and the things that you need in your life have nothing to do with man's distortions down here in time and space, with man's ego-driven systems. But if you want to enter into the spiritual domain, the domain of financial abundance is spiritually driven by the principle of sowing seed and harvesting a return. For example, in the Bible, the prophet Malachi speaks of tithing. And tithing is where you give 10% of whatever your gross income is as your gift into the kingdom of God, your gift to assure that your provision will be abundant. That's a spiritual principle. It's the only one, too, where God specifically says to prove him and to put him to the test. So as you sow your 10% seed, God is obligated to supply whatever it is that you need. That's his contractual agreement with man. And then another practice that is very good, and all people who seem to be very financially well-established, is to then save 10%. So you tithe 10%, you save 10%, and you live off your 80%. And it's amazing. I've been a tither for years, and it's amazing that not only do you have a steady flow of provision, but it seems like your money just swells. It's like that 80% is more than the 100%. That you would have had if you had not saved and you had not tithed. So again, another principle is what you bind here on earth is bound in heaven. And what you loosen here on earth is loosened or released in heaven. And another way to look at this in terms of your finances is what you make happen for another person, God will make happen for you. And again, what you deny another and restrict for another will be denied and restricted for you. So when you live your life to be a blessing to others, you will find, and when you take care of others, and you do things for other people's children, maybe your children won't receive what you do for them. But if you take care of another person's child, then God will send another person to minister to your child. That's the way that works. So there's ways that you can actually cultivate that divine favor towards yourself by participating in these particular principles, divine principles. So again, examine the areas of constriction and logjam in your life. These are going to be areas of selfishness. Where do you act selfishly? Where do you contract and withhold your flow of loving, expansive energy? And always behind selfishness is fear. Withheld energy is always withheld with fear, often fear of lack, fear of loss. So just be aware of when that comes up for you and just choose not to do that. And redefine your understanding of God, life, spirit, and abundance. See God as that life, spirit, and abundance that's freely flowing and loving and expanding as energy in your life. That's a clear definition of the divine source. And now redefine your body-mind complex, as the channel and the conduit for this freely flowing, loving, expanding, and expansive energy of God. And now check to see where you are withholding any generosity. And there you're going to find another log jam. So these are areas where you can keep practicing the expression of your awareness. It's not to judge, it's not to condemn, it's not to buy into yourself as a doer. Just look and see where energy is flowing and where it's not. There was a beautiful song written in MSIA by a beautiful soul by the name of Michael Sun. And one of the verses in the song was, "I'm going to love more this day. I'm going to give more than I take. I'm going to live more for the sake of living love, love, love." And that can be our motto. Let's each day try to love more. Let's each day try to give more than we take. And each day let's try to live more for the sake of living love. You are an emissary of God's love in time and space. That is what you were designed for, created for, and intended for. So as you choose to allow the love to flow through every area of your life, your finances, your relationships, your conversation and relationship with God, your conversation and relationship with everyone, and every part of your life, as you flow the loving into it, you dissolve the log jams, and all constricted energy melts, and the supernatural grace and love of God. And lo, you find suddenly you're the living free. You're the beloved. And everything you do in time and space turns to bless you, and you don't even have to think about it. It just abounds to you as you extend the love of God to your fellow creations. So let's go out chanting, "Anai Hu." Deep breath. "Anai Hu." "I, you." been listening to Commander Lady Athena of the Ashtar Galactic Command. And we say to all, Vasu Barabbas Adonai, which means, in brotherly love, we bid you farewell in the name of Adonai, the Lord. God willing, I'll be with you next week. Have a blessed week.